Westminster Confession, chapter 33, first paragraph. God has appointed a day wherein he will judge the world in righteousness by Jesus Christ, to whom all power and judgment is given by the Father, in which day not only the apostate angels shall be judged, but likewise all persons that have lived upon earth shall appear before the tribunal of Christ, to give an account of their thoughts, words, and deeds, and to receive according to what they have done in the body, whether good or evil. So, this first paragraph of the chapter on the Last Judgment is really giving us the facts of the Last Judgment. First of all, there is an appointed day. God has appointed a day. That is a single event, one single event, when the Lord Jesus shall come to judge the world. And secondly, there is an appointed judge. God has appointed a day wherein he will judge the world in righteousness by Jesus Christ. The text given is Acts 17 and verse 31. Acts 17, verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. God has appointed that he will judge by Jesus Christ at the appointed day. And we're noticing that it is an appointed day, we stress that it is a single event. But Jehovah, the triune Jehovah, displays his glory in the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man Redeemer. The name Jehovah, as we've mentioned at other times, is particularly associated with God as the covenant faithful God. It, in itself, it's referring to God's absolute authority, and his independence, his eternity. He is I Am. But it is also, in his dealings with Israel, particularly associated with his covenant faithfulness. And he shows himself the covenant faithful God in the Lord Jesus Christ. He shows himself to be a just God and a Savior in the Lord Jesus. But also, as Jehovah, he demonstrates his rightful place to judge all men again in the Lord Jesus Christ. His lordship is vindicated in Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus Christ, particularly in the New Testament, is called the Lord, because God will show himself to be the Lord in Jesus Christ. The lordship, the Jehovahship, the absolute authority of God will be manifested in the Lord Jesus Christ. To those who believe, it already is manifested, but it will be demonstrated beyond all contradiction at the last day in the judgment. And that is why we have the constant usage of the terminology God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though Jesus Christ is God and the Father is Lord, yet the normal usage is God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, because as well as showing himself to be the Savior in Christ, God will is and will demonstrate his lordship, his absolute authority in the second person of the Godhead who was manifest in the flesh. And it's noticeable that in Acts 17:31 we read that he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. By that man. And the word man isn't just an English word thrown in to give sense. It is actually there in the Greek text. It's deliberate. That man whom he hath ordained. As a man, the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. He suffered and died in his human nature. He rose from the dead in that human nature. And it is as the God-man Redeemer that he will vindicate the honor and name of God. Thirdly, the mediator is the judge. This is obvious from what we've already said. The mediator is the judge. You see that in the Confession, 33, paragraph 1, to whom all power and judgment is given by the Father. We've jumped ahead at different times and looked at this already, but John chapter 5 and verse 22. John 5 verse 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Verse 27, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. We might wonder, why does it say because he is the Son of Man? The term the Son of Man, whilst it indicates that he was truly a man, it does refer to his incarnation, it's also a title of the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed. Daniel 7 and verse 13. Daniel 7 verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And that's why when the Jews heard Christ speaking of the Son of Man coming in his glory on the clouds, they said it was blasphemy, because they understood that the term the Son of Man and the context of Daniel was referring to the Messiah, the Christ. And the Lord Jesus constantly referred to himself as the Son of Man because of the element, I suppose, of ambiguity, in the sense that it was a messianic title and yet it was referring to himself as a man. And it wasn't such that they could lay hold of it, and yet when he put it in context in Daniel, then of course that situation changed. And as the mediator of his people, he will apply redemption, as we saw last time, he will apply redemption by his Holy Spirit, ultimately completing that application of redemption in the resurrection of the body at the last day. And as part of his redemption of his people, he will also judge and subdue all his and our enemies. So Christ as mediator redeemed his people, is exalted to the right hand of the Father, is applying redemption, opening hearts, bringing to faith, keeping, building up his people in this world, equipping the ministers of the word to declare the truth to that end. And that's what he's doing to the church, but he's also governing everything around the church, the circumstances of the church, ordering even the actions of the wicked to work for the good of his people, and ultimately judging all the enemies of his people, who are his enemies, those who oppose his people oppose him. And so he is looking after his church internally and externally, and all is working towards the complete glorification of all the elect of God and the deliverance of them from the hand of all them that hated them, all their enemies, in judgment. So that the last judgment is not only a display of divine justice, it is that, but it is also part of the deliverance of the people of God. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to render trouble, recompense to them that trouble you, so that there is in the judgment of the wicked also the vindication and final deliverance of the people of God. And Christ, as the appointed mediator, is doing all of this according to the Father's good pleasure. He is applying redemption to his church, governing the circumstances of his church, ultimately leading to the complete application of redemption and the complete judgment of his and his church's enemies. Fourthly, apostate angels will be judged by him. Apostate angels will be judged by him. And you see that the confession says, in which day not only the apostate angels shall be judged, not only, but they shall be judged. The text given, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 3. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 3. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? There it's speaking of the role of the saints, and it's that's not clear to us exactly what role that will be, but the role of the saints in the judgment of wicked angels, apostate angels, those angels that turned aside, turned away from holiness. It came about in the plan of God, but it was nevertheless a wickedness for which they will be judged. And that's showing that there is a judgment of apostate angels. And then perhaps more specifically, Jude verse 6. Jude verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto there is a final judgment. They are restricted at present, but they will be fully and finally judged at the great day. Notice how in so many of these passages there's no explanation of the day, that day, the great day, the day of the Lord, the day of God. Because it was understood that there's only the one day. There isn't these various stages of Christ's coming, as if his coming and his revelation were different and so on. They're all referring to one single day. That's why there's no explanation, because there's only the one. It doesn't need explanation because it's so simple and straightforward. There is one single last day. There isn't a coming of Christ when the church will be taken up at some secret rapture. There isn't a coming of Christ after which he will reign on earth visibly in an imperfect world for 1,000 years. There's none of these things. There is one last day. Anyway, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. He's here giving one example of judgment. He goes on to deal with Noah and the flood, Sodom and Gomorrah, and so on. That surely if God judges angels, then he'll certainly judge the enemies of the church. The Lord Jesus will implement the judgment of the triune God. And he will judge and appear as the defender and vindicator of his elect, redeemed people. And that includes the judgment of Satan and all the powers of darkness. When we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we're praying, yes, for the advance of the gospel on earth, but we're also praying for the coming of the kingdom of glory. We're praying for the day when the Lord will judge even the wicked angels. Fifthly, Christ the judge of all men. Christ the judge of all men. But likewise, all persons that have lived upon earth shall appear before the tribunal of Christ to give an account of their thoughts, words, and deeds, and to receive according to what they have done in the body, whether good or evil. All must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. There are no exceptions. The sheep and the goats are summoned and separated, but all are brought before the judgment seat of Christ. There are schools of prophetic thought which go into convulsions to avoid the obvious meaning of texts like this, and to say that somehow or other there's more than one judgment. There isn't. There's one final judgment. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. 2 Timothy 4 verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. He shall judge the quick, the living, and the dead, those who are alive at Christ's return, those generations of men who have died before Christ's return. All will be summoned before his tribunal with no exceptions. All that have lived on the earth, those who have lived and are still living, those who have lived and have died, all their generations will be brought before the judgment seat of Christ. And all that is done by all will be assessed at that day. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. All that has been done, those things done in secret, which no man could see, but the perpetrator of them, they will all be brought out at the judgment. All the thoughts of men, Romans 2, verse 16. Romans 2, verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. When God shall judge the secrets of men, and it's speaking there back to verse 12, as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged, for as many have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. And then he diverts to look at the way the consciences of men accuse and excuse themselves. But all this will be brought out in the day of judgment. And all the words of men, Matthew 12 and verse 36, Matthew 12 and verse 36 and 37. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Every word, all the words we've ever spoken, since first we began to articulate thoughts into words as little children, all those words brought out before God. There certainly is none righteous, no, not one. And all are accountable. Romans 14 and verse 10. Romans 14, verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. As it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We must give account. And it's interesting to notice that accountability to God is described as appearing, standing before the judgment seat of Christ in verse 10. And then in verse 11, there is quotation from Isaiah 45:23, as I live, saith the Lord, it's Jehovah speaking, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. And of course in Philippians 2, that's applied to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There again we see that the authority of God is vindicated in the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll notice that in our confession of faith, it says to receive according to what they have done in the body. That is, while in this world. This is in conflict with the gospel. It simply means that the assessment is based upon this life. And those without Christ shall be condemned forever on the basis of their sins committed in this life, while in the body. The redeemed will be accepted because while they were in this world, they were born of the Spirit, and that caused them to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ while they were in this world. Faith begins in this world, and its fruit is manifest in this world. And so it is in this life that all that takes place in our lives here, for which we are accountable to God. And it is in this life that the basis of the condemnation of the unbelieving is to be found, and it is in this life that sinners are brought to repentance and to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and to forgiveness of sins and acceptance with God through him. So it is in this life, this brief span that we have in this world, all will be brought out before God. Amen.